Sup with the Lord Jesus. What a privilege. So I would like someone to read for me.
Verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Yes.
If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me.
If any man hear my voice and open the door. Yes. You know, the Lord Jesus is such a loving Savior. He's not going to barge in. He's not going to break in. He's not going to make us, but he'll knock. And I want to say, I believe it's a gentle knock.
Yes.
And he wants us to let him in.
That's right.
And when he lets us, when we open the door and let him in, he said, I will sup with him. And he with me.
Yes.
What a privilege.
That's right.
I want us to think about sup. You know, sup means to eat, right?
That's right.
It's like to have a meal. You know, when we have a meal from the Lord, I'm going to tell you, brother, I'm sorry. You've been missing the days, but I know you. That's something you can't help. But we've been having some meals here. I just thank the Lord for the meals that he gives us. And when he gives us a meal, it's gonna serve an eternal purpose. It's gonna bless our souls. We're gonna be filled. We're going to be nourished. We're gonna be, he's gonna give us everything we need just by us opening that door and letting him come in. He's gonna sup with us. And we with him. Oh, I tell you, I've been supping with him for a while. And I'm telling you, I've enjoyed it. It doesn't get old. You know, sometimes we have some food. And we had it yesterday. We may not want it tomorrow, today. Yesterday's food, you know, it's fresh every single day. It's not old. It's not anything that we can't hardly turn our nose up at. It's wonderful. Oh, I tell you, I love this way. I thank the Lord that I can sup with him and he with me. Yes, I opened that door and he came in here. And when he came in, he supped with me daily. Not one day, not every other day, but every single day he sups with me. And I thank the Lord for it. What a privilege.
Yes.
What a privilege.
That's right.
Amen. That's
right. Let's think about what it means to eat. You know, eat means to consume. It's to ingest, to partake, to put away, put down, tuck away, all those things. So, I want us to think, what are you eating? What are you consuming? Are you supping with the Lord? Or are you eating of the things that the enemy has out here for us to try to eat? No value in it. It's not going to strengthen us. It's not going to do any good. But God has the food for us that has value, that has strength, that makes us, you know, there's hardly words to say, but I thank the Lord for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So the food that we get, if we eat good food, there's a saying, you are what you eat. And, you know, I have to admit, I'm not a person with a good appetite, but it's good to have a good appetite. But you can have a good appetite for the right things. Sometimes, you know, I have a granddaughter, Zoe. I'm telling you, I think if you could just give her candy every single day, that would be the food she would think was good. She loves candy. I have two of them. I kind of call them candy snatchers. Because if I got some candy, you know, I put candy in the little containers. I don't care if they get it, but the thing is, if that's all they eat, that's not healthy for them. So if we eat the right kind of food, we're going to be healthy. But I'll tell you, if we eat the wrong kind of food, we're going to have health problems. And many people today have health problems because of the food they eat. I want to tell you about I have a stepson. He today has very bad diabetes. He's on dialysis. But the thing is, I remember when he was younger, he was the cleanup man when it comes to desserts. If nobody else wanted some more of that cake, he would eat it. And he would, you know, and it was funny to me back in those days. I thought it was good. You know, I'd bake a cake. I didn't have to worry about who's going to eat it because he would eat. But you know something? Today I look back and I say, he's suffering for the way he ate. And many of us are suffering for the way we eat. If we do not eat right, I have this problem I have. I honestly don't know why. Be honest, I don't know why. The tests haven't really shown why. So I have it. But no doubt, somewhere along the line, I probably created it. I don't know. But at any rate, you know, people, sometimes they have heart attacks because of the kind of food they eat, or they have diabetes, or they have this, or they have that. Well, the same way with our souls. If we don't eat right, we will not be spiritually healthy. And so we want to take care of our souls. This body is going to perish. It's going to go back to dust. But our soul will live on in eternity somewhere. And so we want to do our part in feeding on the right things. I was thinking about, well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10 and read 1, 2, 3. We want our souls to thrive. You know, sometimes they have babies that are born and they don't maybe gain the weight that they would like to at a certain point. And we say they're not thriving. But we want to thrive. And in order for us to thrive, we're going to have to feed this soul the right kinds of food. 1 Corinthians 10:1-3.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat.
Did you read on to 3?
That's 3. You'll be reading 4 as well.
Yeah.
And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
Do you see the kind of food they ate? The spiritual food and drank the spiritual drink.
Yes.
They drank of that rock. They ate of that rock, which is Christ. We can eat. One time Jesus told them, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have life. If you don't, you don't have life in you. He said, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The word of God was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. Jesus' flesh, his word, that's what we eat of. We can eat of it. And the Spirit of God, we can drink of it. And when we eat and drink of the Word of God, eat of the Word, and drink of the Spirit, we're going to have life in us. And that life is going to be flourishing. If we're puny and can't hardly make it and don't have a spiritual outlook, it's because of, look at what you're eating. Look at what you're drinking. Because I know if we take this word and we eat of it like we should and we drink of the Spirit of God, we're going to have a spiritual outlook. You know, people that kind of have this carnal way of thinking, carnal way of acting, they're eating the wrong things. If we eat the right things, God, we will have a spiritual life and not a carnal life. We want to be nourished. Jesus will nourish us. He loves us. We're his sheep. The 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to what? Lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. You see, he has green pastures for us to eat. That's, they lie down there, but they have that nourishing food to eat.
Yes.
And so that's what we'll have if we would just eat of Jesus and of his word and of his spirit. 1 Peter 2:2. We want to be spiritually healthy. If we don't, we're going to be puny. You know, I'm willing to believe that many people that do not stay saved is because they're not eating of the right things. They get to maybe start out real good, read the Word of God, pray and all that. Then they get slack and negligent. And they start eating of other stuff. We're going to talk about some of this junk food that people are eating today.
1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire
when you first open that door and Jesus said he'll come in and sup with you and you with him, you start have a desire for the milk of the word that you may grow thereby. There is no growing if you don't do this. If you don't partake of the milk of the word, you're going to die. You're not going to flourish. So, but we were talking about that many people are feeding on other things and not on healthy, nourishing, spiritual food. Let's go to Proverbs 13:2. You know what? We want to eat good, not violence. And all the stuff that's in the world today is so much violence. And these things that people are looking at, books they're reading, magazines they're reading, TV programs, and there's so much stuff that people are feeding on. And their soul is feeding on violence. You ask why? Why are these so many killings? And yet the parents are sitting these TVs and these phones and everything in front of these little children. They grow up from a little child looking at killing and using guns and knives and everything. And the parents think it's okay, but they don't realize they're making their children eat of violence. And we're paying for it. We're paying for it. Our nation is paying for it. I remember back in the 70s when I was in Tulsa and I worked at Children's Medical Center. I went to a workshop and they were talking about violence in children. And they pointed back to even the cartoons. A lot of times people think cartoons are harmless. But they say that it was a whole lot of violence. What do you think that workshop would say today?
Lord,
That was in the 70s.
Yep, Lord.
And they were concerned about the children and violence. But today, they have been fed a steady diet of violence. These games that they play are violent. Giving children guns. I'll tell you, everybody don't have to do this. But I never bought one gun that I know of for my children. Sometimes they think those little cap guns, oh, it's just a toy. Even the little water guns. I feel like we are feeding these children violence when we allow them. Put that gun. I was at one sister's house, and the little child was about 3, maybe 3 or 4, not very old. And she had these little tiny guns, and he was playing with it. And she said, now, you're not supposed to shoot people, but, you know, I watched him. Every little chance he could get, he was pointing that thing at somebody. Nobody was paying attention too much, but I was sitting there. Those things make children violent. And then when they grow up and they start using violent ways of doing things, that's what we get. That's the food they ate. And we should not do that. But even us grown people, we need to watch the things that we allow ourselves. You know, these things that we get so involved in. It's a whole lot on my mind tonight. You all pray for me. Today, we have people that are into politics. They're into it. They're wrapped up into it. And it brings bitterness. It brings anger. It brings division. And all of this, we have to watch what we're eating. I don't say it's wrong to know what's going on. I'm not saying that. But don't get a steady diet of it every day. I just can't hardly wait, and I'm going to see what this one said, and that one said, and the other one said. I know we're in the time that we're going to vote, and different people will vote. Now, I'm not saying don't, but what I'm saying is, what am I feeding myself? Am I spending too much time on that? We need to be careful what we're spending our time and how we're feeding our soul on trash and junk. Junk food. This is what we call junk food. Also, sometimes we have things like go on the radio. We listen to talk shows. We listen. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just making a point. Yeah. We say we're the church of God and we believe the way we do, but then are we listening to these other preachers that preach part of the truth and not all? Right. On some of these songs on the radio, they're supposed to be Christian songs, but they sound like rap. And they have a beat to it.
Right,
and you know, you're not careful, you might be moving. We have to be careful the diet we eat, the things we're eating. Let's go now to Ephesians 4 and 14. But we can be, you know, some people are picky eaters. You just can't hardly please them. They're picky eaters. And I'm one of them. I have to admit, I'm a picky eater. But you know what? It's good to be picky eaters when it comes to the things of God. Don't just take anything. Don't swallow down anything. Somebody come here with this idea and I'm just listening to it. And I'm just filling my mind and heart with it. No, let's examine it. What is this? What kind of spirit is in this? And let's be careful what we eat. Yes.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
That's right. So So I'm going to pick you either. We're not going to allow ourselves to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. I have a friend that was saved among us, but she loved to read all these books from one thing or another. She even tried to get me to, I think it was a book that teach you how to pray for different things. Well, you got this problem, so, but I'm a picky ear. I'm not willing to just pick up any book and read. Those things will affect us. We need to be very careful of the books we read. Even the so-called religious books, those people have a spirit. And if you're not careful, you'll get up on it. Today, this very one, the last I knew, she got into a prayer language type thing. But I feel like that what led her into it was all the stuff she was feeding on. So let's be careful. Now we want to talk about the Lord. His what when we eat it, his way. Let's go to Joshua 1:8. See, when we eat of the things of God, we're going to be strong. We're going to be healthy. We're going to develop as, you know, you want, you know, if I have a three-year-old and that three-year-old is still drinking a ball, he's still not wanting to walk. He's still wanting me to carry him all the time. I hardly say any words. Something's wrong with his development. And so we don't want to be like that. We want to develop as we should, step by step. I had one time I was working at Children's Medical Center. And they wanted me teaching their class. And I did. And I had this little boy. He was 6 years old. And his parents were still carrying him. So they brought him to me. I'm supposed to, these were children with special needs. I'm supposed to work with them. Day one, the parents left, let me see if this boy can hold his weight. And so I had him standing. By the end of that first week, that boy was walking. He was walking. He had the ability, but he had gotten afraid, and he wouldn't walk, and the parents just kept carrying him. So he was able. He had the ability. God wants us. A six-year-old shouldn't have to be packed around. They shouldn't have to be carried everywhere they go. Something's wrong with it. If they got the ability, they need to walk. So, this. Yes.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
You see that? Eat the word of God.
Yes.
And when you read the word of God, don't just read it. Meditate on it. You know, some people think, I'm gonna read a chapter every day. You don't have to read a chapter every day. If you get one scripture and you meditate on that scripture all day long, it'll become a part of you. Just because you read 25 scriptures, it's not necessarily the right way to eat. Eat and let it become a part of it. This is what we do. So reading and meditating is going to give us strength. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy 4:12-13. We need to develop good eating habits. So when we read the word and we meditate on it and we obey it and we follow it, that's good eating habits. It's going to be a part of you. It's going to give, it's going to make some strong bones.
Yes.
It's going to make some good vision. It's going to make us be able to do many things for God. When God gets ready for us, we'll be already strong enough.
That's right.
It's also going to help us in the hard times.
That's right.
We do not realize, we do not know what we're going to face. I say this over and over, and I feel it. We don't know what we're facing. God is preparing us. In this meeting, I believe God has sent messages to prepare us for the hard times.
Yes.
And we need to know how to take all of this food that we're getting and digest it. It does us no good to hear it if we do nothing with it. We must read it. We must meditate on it. And we must act on it. The Lord tell you, you need to be more patient. Act on it. Don't just hear it and forget it. Go to the altar. This is what this altar is for. See, my people are scared of the altar these days. Go to the altar. Pray. Ask God to help you to be more patient or to be more kind or to be whatever. Read. First
no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Yeah.
Till I come, give attendance to reading,
reading,
to exhortation, to doctrine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Give attendance to it.
Yeah.
To reading. That must be a part of us.
Yes.
An exhortation to doctrine. Whatever the Lord has showed us that he wants us to do and how we should live, let's give attention to that. It says, also let's read 1 Timothy 6 and 20. And I know that if we don't do these things, we're going to end up weak, in a weakened spiritual state. You see, have you ever been around a person that likes to argue the Bible or argue things about science? Well, I wonder how this was made or that. Just arguing. You can have wasted time trying to argue people about. I don't like to argue about the Bible. If you are serious and you want some understanding, I'm glad to be a part of that. But I don't want somebody that is a back and forth about the Bible. And then I feel like here it says avoid. Avoid. If we don't and we continue to allow ourselves to be in that, we're going to find ourselves not as strong as we are to. Psalms 119 and 113.
Mm-hmm. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love.
Simple, isn't it? Hate vain thoughts. All this vain talking and stuff. You know, we don't want to be a part of that. But what did he say? But that law. What one scripture says, great peace have they that love thy law and nothing shall offend them. We need to have a love for the law of God.
That's verse 165. If anybody wants to write that down.
Yes. I was thinking how that In the Bible, we have examples of how the different ones were able to go through hard times. And if we do the things that we're talking about tonight and we feed on the good things of God, we will have the strength in the hard times. And that's what we need, and that's what we want. I was thinking about Paul and Silas, Acts 16:19. Let's read that. You see, they had been feeding on something. They had been feeding on the good things of God, or they never would have been able to sing in prison. In prison. My feet in the stocks. I, you know, I can't go where I want. Can't even hardly, barely move, whatever. And yet, they were able to sing praises to God. We'll be able to do these things and be able to sing when we go through hard times. If we feed on the good things of God.
Start verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
When her masters saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks.
Okay, stop just a minute. What happened is they had this girl that was would do divination. They, you know, like
spirit of divination,
right? And she but they cast that spirit out, and so they couldn't make any more profit. So that's why they got all upset with them. So they put them in this, now they're in this condition. But at midnight.
And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken.
Yes.
And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm.
Yes.
For we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Do you see? Do you think that the Lord doesn't want to work with us like he did with them? I believe he still today wants to work some special miracles with us in this time. But we have to avail ourselves to him like they did. Now, most of us would be saying, "Woe is me. Well, I was just doing good. And look what happened." And don't you know their backs was hurting? They were beaten. Their clothes were taken off of. If we feed on the things of God, God will give us the same kind of strength. I believe that with all my heart, that he will give us the same kind of strength he gave them to be able to sing praises. Not sing, "Woe is me." Not complain.
Praises.
but sing praises unto the Lord. And the Lord wants to do some mighty works.
Yes.
In this day, I believe he wants to do some mighty works. Right. But we're going to have to avail ourselves, eat of the things of God. And we think about, there are others. I was thinking about Daniel. Daniel, he had a way about him that, we just have to go to it. God helped him because I believe of his consistent life before God. He was feeding. We can feed on the word of God, but you know what? We get a feeding when we pray too. Did you know that?
Amen.
We get a feeding when we pray. So if we, let's read Daniel 6. We're not going to read all of it, but I want to read some of it. 1-5. I want you to see the kind of life he lived. His consistent prayer life was helped him in the time when he went to the lion's den.
It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion.
That's right.
For as much as he was faithful,
yes,
neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law.
Okay, that's verse 5. All right, now, so they realized that Daniel had an excellent spirit. It was really no fault in him. They could not find fault, but they were jealous of him, no doubt, and they wanted to get rid of him.
Yeah.
So they had to go to his devotion to his God. So they had the king to sign a decree that, no, everyone must ask nothing of any god or person except him for 30 days.
Uh-huh.
All right, now let's take up at verse 10.
Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime.
Yes.
See here?
Yes.
Gave thanks before his God. He had a personal relationship with God. He just, it was his pattern.
Yes.
And not only that, how many of us, knowing that decree was written, would leave our window open? Wouldn't we think that, well, maybe I can just shut the window. Nobody will know. It's just between me and God. That's the way the devil tried to work. But he just left the window open, and he prayed. What? And he gave thanks to his God. He knew that was against him. But he gave what? Thanks to his God. And let's go verse 13 and 14.
Regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored until the going down of the sun to deliver him.
But he couldn't. He couldn't, because his word was out there. So let's go to verse 16.
Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually,
yes,
will deliver. deliver me.
Yes. The king testified of him. Thy God, whom thy servest,
that's right.
What it said, continually,
yes.
He'll deliver you. Mm-hmm. Now let's finish up with verse 19 to 22.
Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, who thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?
Yes.
Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel,
yes,
and hath shut the lion's mouth.
Yes.
They have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before the other king, have I done it over.
He sent his angels. He sent his angels. He delivered him. And but that king said, did your God, who you serve continually, did he deliver you? Oh, tonight, let's be encouraged to be consistent in our living for the Lord, consistent in eating the right healthy food of the Word of God and of the Spirit of God. And if we do that, if we eat at Jesus' table, if we eat at Jesus' table, we're going to have strength. We're going to be able to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I have one more scripture I want us to read. 2 Timothy 2:3-7. Yes.
Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things.
Yes. Consider what I say tonight, and the Lord give you understanding. Amen. Be encouraged to feed on the good things of God.
Yes.
When we feed on the good things,
amen,
of God, it is a privilege.
Amen.
We're eating royally. You know, we're at a royal table. That's what we're at. And it's a blessing that God cares for us and he gives us the kind of food that's going to make us strong and healthy and able to win in the end. Pray for me.